As always, I got delicious today.
It's, of course, I'm delicious today, baby. We got a...
Hey,
he said, no, sir. Yeah,
we got
No, sir. I told Dave, man, I said, look, I'm not going to make him scream it up the street, man. At least we're like here one-on-one, small, intimate setting. So it wouldn't be as weird today for sure. Yeah. So I think we could have got away with it.
Like we had a restaurant. I'm like, what you going to get delicious?
Yeah.
Ride around my top down, window shaking a lot now. I'ma stay proud, no Kane Brown, but I thank God for these days now. Don't make sounds, crash glass, no rebounds. End town, Nashville, and I stay proud now.
Hey everyone, what's going on? It's your main man, Young Gray. So as always, this is Nashville, brought to you by Big D Sauce. Today we got Cedric, the motherfucking entertainer. In the building today.
The man.
Seth, how you feeling, bro?
Right here.
What up, man? What's going on, man? What's up? Started out wild off the top. We are...
Hey, Seth, that's how we roll, man. Like, this is not a game.
Yeah, I love it. Just get it.
I feel like Seth, when he was born, it was literally Seth... The motherfucking entertainer. Then I had to edit it down.
Well, you edited it because mom and dad weren't going to follow through with that.
Yeah, exactly. My dad was like, hey, what about my name? You know what
Are you named after your pops?
Yeah, so it's my dad's name is Cottrell.
Okay.
Cottrell style. So I don't even know where Cedric came from. I think, you know, like my mother saw some English name and thought it was dope. And so it's like, said. That's how it came about.
It worked, man.
No, that's cool.
So, like, tell us a little bit, because obviously everyone knows who you are. You've done some of the most incredible things, period. But, like, what was Young Sed like?
You know, so I grew up in a little town in Caruthersville, Missouri, which is like the Boot Hill. My mother was a school teacher down there. I got a younger sister. And, you know, we was always kind of fashion forward. Like, my mom was, you know, she was a young mother. So she, you know, would shop out of the catalogs and make sure that we was always fly at Gucci, you know, not with Gucci.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we was definitely, for a small town, was like some of the flyest kids in the neighborhood. So it was that. But, you know, a real warming environment. My grandmother, my mother's mother, cousins. All of us kind of live together, you know, around in the same few blocks. Damn, this little bug is going crazy. So
we see him, actually. It's all over you.
It's making for great TV, I'll tell you that.
Like, really fucking with me, like, yo, but you know, grew up there until I was about 10. Then we moved to St. Louis, man. And so, from there, just, you know, like, you know, the whole more metropolitan urban life, city life. And then went to college at Cape Girardeau and got out, worked for State Farm for a few years.
Okay.
Discovered I could do comedy and then went on and started my comedy career.
How were you as a State Farm agent? I'm sure everyone wants to know. Were you like, what's his name, Jake or whatever?
He missed his mark. He could have been the first Jake.
I was original Jake for sure, you know. But back then we used to wear suits. We didn't wear the khakis, so we used to have to wear suits. But I definitely did car claims, and you know, I was one of these people that, you know, try to take care of my folks. I always said, you know, because black people came in with threatening them. I call myself bilingual because I spoke regular English and angry Negro. The black people come in, I'll blow this motherfucker up. No, like, this car classic. You like, bro, that's old. That's an 82 Maverick.
Yeah.
No rims, no nothing. Missing a hubcap before the ramp. Yeah.
That's old.
Yeah, that's old. Yeah.
So right from State Farm, that's where you found out that you wanted to go into comedy? Like, were you already dabbling in comedy before that?
No, it was like I started State Farm, you know, and then maybe about two weeks later, this dude that I knew, he basically put me in a comedy competition, you know, one of them ones like, yo, I think you can do this. And he's, you know, told me that, you know, he was a comedian. So he helped me write my jokes, or put my the stuff I would say in an order.
Right.
And I went up and won $500 the first time I ever did it. I was hooked at that point.
Okay. That's funny, man. Heck that's yeah, funny. Man.
And you say, I've seen you before. You said when you first started out, you had the small set. Like, you were struggling to even feel that 8-minute window of that.
Yeah.
Because I understand, and clarify it if I'm wrong, but I understand as a comedian, you have that. You got the 8-minute, you got your half hour, you got your hour guy, and you're paid based off of those tiers. So I understand you were struggling to even feel that first 8 minutes when you first came out the gate. So that's where I understand the singing, and you know, you're the world renowned pop locker, you know, so I assume a lot of that came, you know, along with
Yo, you can dance, man. That's like no joke.
You say Cedric the Entertainer, and like literally, and we'll play around a little more with the entertainer piece later on.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to think, man, this dude like legit is. Or you came up for comedy, you're going to get way more than comedy. Like, sat up here doing cooking shows and everything to fill the 8-minute gap when he first started.
Exactly. And that's, you know, because the thing is, I had been to college, so the only money that made sense to me was the middle money.
Right.
Like, so it was the money for 30 minutes. So, I mean, 8 minutes of was going to do it. I didn't have no jokes.
Yeah.
So I've got to figure out how to be up here for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm singing a whole Luther song. Are you going to be? Are you going to be? Are you going to be? I'm running every run. Then I do a dance routine. I do about 5 minutes worth of jokes. So I'm looking at my clock the whole time. Like,
wow.
So, but question off of that though, how is that, depending on who put that show together? If they're putting a comedy show together and you came up there and gave them a whole Star Search, you know, solo, 4 minutes of your routine. Like, I mean, like, how does that work? Do you get off stage and like that $54 that you thought you were gonna get to be up there, you got 29 instead because you only did comedy half the time?
If you do the time, you gotta get paid. Okay. You know, and that was customary. So the thing was is that, you know, I add a little variety to it, but it was the most entertaining thing that people had saw.
Yeah.
There's some people that can do 30 minutes worth of comedy and you wish they would have got off 8 minutes ago. You know,
eight minutes.
You're like, nah, you could have been done, bro. Like, that shit was horrible. You know, but at least, you know, the stuff I was doing was funny and I was adding comedy to things. And of course, you know, just taking advantage of all the skill sets that I had.
Yeah,
so
right.
That was. I wish I was one of them dudes that knew how to paint a picture.
Yeah,
you know how you go through like the Super Bowl and
right. Yeah.
Well, like, I can tell a joke.
Well, look, I don't mean to cut you off, but I do know, like, bro, in this day of social media, bro, nobody's gonna get on and start firing us up on Twitter because they'd be like, "Wait a minute, he said $54." So I need to correct that before we move any further and make sure everybody know that my basic math skills are in place. I said 54. I split it to 29. I'm in HR as a professional, I was actually doing prorated math. So let's make sure that everybody understand before you start, because Dave also knows that I'm one of the people that to respond back. Said I'm telling you, I'm not that guy. Like, I don't have anything. To protect. I'm fully prepped for anybody to bring it. I will send a formal response back to you and the sensitivity That's stuff these days. Yeah. I really hope you can deal with it. So,
you got to be ready for the smoke.
Be ready for the smoke, man.
So you're doing these little comedy shows and stuff like that. What was the point that you were like, oh, shit, like that flip around, that switch for you that pushed you to that next level?
Right.
You know, there's a couple of things. I mean, of course, you know, leaving St. Louis, going and performing in some of the biggest cities in the country, you start to get more confidence. Of course, came to New York, did the Def Comedy Jam, Apollo. Those shows give you a lot more confidence. Yeah. And then in Chicago, I won this competition called the Miller Genuine Draft. And the years before, it was people like Bernie Mac and Adele Gibbons.
Okay.
And dope comedians had won. So if you won that, you was considered a legit comedian. And so I won the year I went. And so that was one of those things that give you a lot of confidence. But I wouldn't say my career didn't really change until I did those Bud Light commercials. That's when I noticed I went from kind of being like a star in just the hood or black household to a more like nationally known person.
Right.
And the first time when I did one of those commercials where I shook up the beer and they split it on the girl, that it won the Super Bowl. And I was like in the news, I was everywhere. And that was, and that's when you start walking through the airport and everybody like, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's dope.
So
man.
Where did like, so like from there to like the Steve Harvey show and stuff like that, was that pretty right next to each other?
Yeah, yeah, they kind of, you know, once I got hot, now all that stuff started to flow. I did a Steve Harvey show. I think that was 96, maybe somewhere. It was like 98 when we started it. And but me and Steve met like a few years before then, got cool, was running with him. And then when he got the opportunity to do that show, he asked for me to be his partner on there. I actually had a deal to do my own show, and yet I had saw him do, he had another show before Steve Harvey called Me and the Boys, and I saw how hard it was to keep a show up.
Yeah.
So I elected to go in the shotgun seat, you know, and so that I can watch and learn. And so that was actually really great. It's been a great, great learning experience. I mean, me and Steve been brothers ever since. So that, you know, that's just been a real cool thing, like for me to learn how to rock television, build a career, all these kind of things based off riding shotgun at that time in my career.
No, that's dope. And I used to watch Steve Harvey show religiously. All the time.
Me too.
But I'm not gonna lie, I was gonna give him props for it. I didn't know Warner Brothers was even a network until, you know, like I was like, oh, you know, and then,
it was new back then.
Well, it was new, but then you took off so much that, like, I'm gonna tell you, like, all black people are like, oh, that stands for We Black. Like, we thinking, that's our network. Yeah. Like, I mean, we're running with this, like, the Steve Harvey on it's the main show there. Like, we're gonna click and we're gonna own this, you know, and run with it. But no, the show, I mean, it was a great run, you know, like, and the show was solid. Like, so
it's still on the air. Still, I mean, in many places, you can still see the Steve Harvey show being played in syndication, which is great. You know, and I think that is a testament to how good the show was and how people grew up on it, love it, know. Mm-hmm. And some characters, Terry, who played LaVita Alize Jenkins, Wendy Raquel, who went on to be on The Game and all those other shows. Just, you know, everybody's still hella busy, man. Mm-hmm.
So how would you compare now? I mean, since that was your trial run, you know, like you got the waitresses that always want to serve tables till they find out they can't carry a tray. You know, so you go to that lower end restaurant, learn your craft, and then, you know, you pick up and run with your own. So how would you compare your experience on the Steve Harvey show as opposed to what you're doing now and your maturity? What's taking you to, because you're still running it, you know, so you're now in a neighborhood.
You just hit 100th episode?
We did 100 last year, so we over that number now. But, you know, now to your point, bro, it's like, I mean, you took all those lessons. You watch somebody, you know, see what it is to run the show from top to bottom, having the writers, being able to control the executive side, what they want, being able to have different cast members with leads and everything, you know, that they need. And so being able to, you know, manipulate that. And, you know, to do a TV show, it's probably a staff, a crew of 150 people, you know. So, and if you're the lead actor, you're the lead dude, you're the... and the executive producer, you're the man in charge. Like, so it is, that's what I learned, is to have patience, but be definitive, be a boss. And, you know, I make sure that, you know, it's all about getting the work done so that we can get to 100 episodes. We can get to 200 episodes. That's what we're trying to do around here.
Right. No, that's nice, man.
This is probably a very common question, but like, if you had to do if someone was like, said, we have a sold out event for you today to do a comedy event, or we have you acting for this commercial, what are you choosing?
Choose the stand up, man. Like, it is the thing that kind of started what it all about. You know that you grab that audience. If you get somebody live right there in front of you, and they, all them individual people can spread the word to so many other individual people. And it's just a better movement for having a fan base for longevity. Like for me, like being in it 30 plus years, it all started from stand up. And I remember that, and I treat that as the thing. Now you will go you would compare bags. Now, don't get me wrong, you would compare bags.
Right. Yeah. It's like, same amount of time, a little heavier. So this is,
you said, is this a commercial that could turn into one of them Sam Jackson Capital One campaigns?
Yeah.
Where I'm running for like 15 years.
Right.
Then I'm gonna go with that, right? Like, you know, so,
exactly.
You know, but if it's a one-off to a one-off, then the one-off is always live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's dope. But I mean, in all fairness, too, I mean, stand-up, dude. Comedy, if you're stand funny, up, dude,
yeah,
it translates into every, you know, like every, you can take that into every arena.
But the
you
thing
know,
is, stand-up is probably the hardest industry in it's the world. Be. Has to be it's the hardest be. Thing yeah. in the world to break. Because I have I have friends with millions of followers that are comedians that cannot do stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll say it, like, I can't stand on stage and do stand-up. It takes a different breed to do to be successful.
And it's funny, because you and I talk. You know, we'll be sitting there just, you know, chatting it up. And I tell Dave all the time, I don't deal well enough with rejection, you know, for me to step up there. You know, so I was like, I said, man, look, if I mean, my first joke probably walked right out and be like, hey, if you don't start laughing, I can promise you, like, I don't really know what's going on. You know, like, so, you know, so for me, I think the hardest part of it, because I think you have some absolutely hilarious people, you know, Earth just. Naturally, it's what they do. They don't have to write it. They don't have to, you know, but it's that fear factor of stepping up there and having that ability to, one, deal with the negative side of what comes with it, but then the longevity of that I was good enough to weather that storm, you know, and make something of this. So
said you got a top five in comedy?
Man, you know, I mean, of course, it varies, you know, if we talking about like current people or just my overall.
Overall,
I'm probably going to have to go with, you know, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, George Carlin, the late Robin Williams, mm-hmm. and then the late Robin Harris,
who was the one. Baby kids.
One inspired me the most.
Yeah.
So they're my guys right there. Like, you know, I think that like really shaped what I want to do with comedy. Now I'm a fan of Chappelle and Rock and Harvey and George Lopez. These are my guys right here. There's a lot of people I love, like to watch. But if I think about who motivated me to do comedy and who I wanted to be, was them guys right there.
The one guy, obviously, that you were able to share the stage with and probably a good friend of yours, Bernie Mac. What would you put him at?
I mean, Bernie Mac, he make a lot of people Mount Rushmore more. You know, of course, you know, on the Kings of Comedy, he's with us, so we all go up there together. Like,
That's the truth, though, man. Mm-hmm. That there is no, you cannot shave one of those faces off. Like, it's a...
That, man, he just was legendary, you know, one, as a performer and as a good dude, though. You know, like I said, he was one of these people that early in my career, you know, he just treated me like a little brother. And then we became more peers and, you know, and started to do great things together, including, including Kings of Comedy. But, you know, we had a lot of cool projects that we did together, man. Mm-hmm. And that was my guy.
I think currently, right now, we were talking about
earlier.
Currently, there's probably not a top five for comedy that you wouldn't be in right now.
Yeah, you know, I definitely recognize that. I know that, you know, the business has this kind of ebb and flow, like, ooh, hot, right?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, of course, Chappelle is up there. You know, you got Kev, who's like, you know, big juggernaut comedian.
Right.
And then, you know, Rock. But I like, you know, Deion Cole right now, like on fire. You know what I mean? Like killing it. You know, Cat always gonna bring it. You know what I mean? Mike Epps, one of my favorites. You know, these are guys. DL, one of my favorites. So I like a lot of comedians. So I know Bill Burr. There's a lot of young dudes, though. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of these cats that's kind of popping up right now that's kind of good. Like, it's a dude with the country accent, though. He's funny as shit, though. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good comedians out here right now, though.
So a lot of hobbies you got going, right? So, like, I want to get into some of the hobbies. So, obviously, I know about Rider Gang. So, I know you guys been doing the Rider Gang, which is pretty cool. Now,
yeah, man. That's dope. We started that during COVID. You know, Big P, anybody know Big Percy, man? He just one of these connectors. Like, he wanted the connector of the of L.A. for sure, but the world in general. Like, if you need anything, call Big Percy. He's going to have it plugged in, man. And so, you know, but he was one of these people that got us all together. We started, everybody with old schools, started out with just me, him, and Wiz Khalifa. That was like, that was a small group, you know, and Wiz happened to have, you know, what's going on? Y'all see.
Hey,
y'all see.
Hey, how's it going?
She got to go. Okay. Yeah, that's Regina Hall from our, you know, best man.
Regina Hall.
Yeah, I wanted to speak a little longer, but I didn't want to make it awkward.
I didn't even recognize. All right.
That was a good little cameo.
You didn't see me. I was like, I'm sitting here like, okay, yeah, we all here.
Go
around the table.
Y'all wanted to play candy from when you walk in.
Go around the table. You didn't see me sitting here?
Yeah. That's funny shit. No, but man, Rider Gang is dope, man. It grew from, like I say, 3-4 cars. Second week, we had 10, 12 cars, and then it got to the point it'd be 100+ cars out there, man. We just rolling, hit the city, you know, Percy the leader. You know, don't follow, whatever you do, don't follow P, though.
Yeah. What?
He gonna make all kinds of left turns.
Yeah, I can see it.
All you see is he just throw his hand out the window like this.
Yeah.
It's 100 cars back there. Nobody knows what you're talking about. He gonna take a right through a gas station. You be like, everybody can't come through this damn gas station.
That's great.
That's funny, man. That
wild with it. But we be having a blast, man. Everybody rocking their music. You know, got the cigars out, got the blaze out. It's California lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
California Rider Gang, man.
Now, you do golf beef with him too, right? Who's a better golfer, you or P?
You know what? I'm going to have to give P a little love right here. I probably can get that money on him, you know what I'm saying? But he definitely be striping that ball sometimes. He caught me off guard. I didn't know that he'd be getting locked in like that. Because I thought P be out there playing, and yeah, I played with him one day. I was like, oh, okay, he be striping that ball. Okay, yeah. I see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. That competitive nature coming out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he do a lot of gimmies though. A lot of gimmies, you know. Good. We like, bro.
Yeah, 8 feet. Yeah.
You can't be 8 feet from the hole talking about good.
Good. Yeah.
So, Seth, this I really want to bring up to you because, you know, I just launched my own barbecue sauce called Big D Sauce. And I know you and Anthony got like a sauce AC. Company AC. And, yep. and rubs and stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
And I talked to P. I was like, yo, P, if I challenge him in a cook-off, what's the chance that he'll do it? He's like, if you make it like a charity and stuff like that, we may be able to do it. So I think we got to do something for the people where we see what's the better sauce.
I like the idea of that. You know what I'm saying? Because I grill a little bit. We mainly do the food and the seasonings, and we did it for the culture. So
right.
I don't really claim to be the one on the grill. I usually get my people to grill for
me. Well, that's what I'm saying. We got
this dude ain't on the grill either, man.
No, I'm not on the grill.
Okay.
No, we'll get you to Nashville. 404 Kitchen, one of the top restaurants in all of Nashville. We'll shut down the whole entire restaurant, and we'll do a huge charity event. He'll cook the food. You can do a book signing for Nashville, and we can get everyone out here for you.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Which will be good.
Love it. Yeah. I'll get my people from Blink Media to hit y'all up. They've been coordinating these for me. That'll be beautiful. That'd be a dope idea.
Yeah,
I like
that'd be dope.
Heck yeah.
So off the book, bro, because, I mean, this man constantly adding something to the entertainer. You know, so we got a bucket that started out less than 8 minutes long that's now over 80 minutes long, you know, because he keep dropping something else in there. So you gotta spill it a little bit for us now that you have dropped the novelist title in the name now.
Yeah, exactly. Flipping boxcars, man. That's my book, man. It's you can grab it anywhere. Books are sold right now. You got But it's a novel. It's based loosely based on my grandfather. Yeah, Flickin' yeah. Box.
Okay, right hell there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's sick. So he was a businessman, entrepreneur, a very famous crap shooter, dice thrower, okay. and a bootlegger at all in the late 40s. And so I kind of took some of the stories that I heard from my mother and my uncles, and then I fictionalized this whole tale of him doing this big caper against the Irish mob in Chicago. So it's dope. It's about, you know, and the title is when you shoot dice and you hit 2 sixes, that's called box cars.
Right, right.
And then he also did a thing with some Pullman Porter friends where he flipped some train box cars in order to pull this caper off. So they was flipping box cars okay. there. That's so dope. That's like where the title came from.
It's kind of dope that you put that you honestly have that personal. It's not like, you know, everybody goes and writes a book, you know, like it's the personal tie in it, you know, that like, not only are you proud of, you know, putting a book out there, but now you're even more proud because you put that legacy into it. It's tied to something, you know, that actually means something to you. So you're not just out here pushing pages, you're pushing, you know, part of who you became.
And it's unique to your point, though, is that it tied me to my family in a unique way because, like you say, he passed before I was born, but to do the research to get, even though I'm making up the story, I had to get a lot of things right, like timing, people, locations, buildings. Some of these things were true, and I just like added to the storyline.
Yeah.
Of course, that made me closer to him, made me understand my family legacy, even that hustle inside of me, that idea that I want to do a little bit of this and I want to do a little bit of that. That's who my grandfather was, and it was interesting to discover that while writing this book.
Yeah, no, that's dope. I mean, you flipped the industry and that's you flipping box cars. So I mean, that's
deep, man.
That's dope, man.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's
man.
Super nice.
So what's next for Seth? The world knows you are a man of multiple traits. What is next for Seth on the list?
Man, well, I mean, for one, I mean, we definitely growing this AC Barbecue to a big brand. We actually just announced we're going to put a restaurant on Jackson State University campus.
Oh, that's dope.
Okay. We got a deal going with Sodexo and Magic Johnson's company that provides restaurants on a lot of HBCUs.
Okay.
So we're getting ready to grow our brand like that, where we'll have the AC Barbecue brand on college campuses. Campus. We're doing the virtual kitchen brand. So we really trying to grow this company really big. We're about to be in Lowe's. We're in Walmart right now. So it's hustling that, like really trying to hustle on the entrepreneurial side. The neighborhood's coming. Whenever the strike is over, the neighborhood coming back. We know that we can be doing that. I got a couple of spinoffs. I got one with Tracy Morgan that's going to spin off of my show.
Okay.
And so I'm producing for a lot of other people now. That's why I was meeting with Regina. So I'm also creating stuff for other people as well.
I'll tell you a funny story about Tracy Morgan. So like before I got started in like hip hop and music and stuff like that, I used to sell security systems. Now I sold Tracy a security system. He had ADT at the time, right? And back in the day, it wasn't like technology that you can like close your doors or lock your with your phone. You had the key fob,
right?
So Tracy lost his key fob, so he calls me up, and he's like, all right, like, can you drop off a new key fob? So I'm like, sure, like, I'll bring a key fob over. So I'm pulling up to his house, and he's backing out of his driveway, and he smashes into his other car. With his one car, he hits his other car. But he gets out of the car and he goes on this rant. But like, I was dying laughing because the rant was so funny and he was like cracking jokes while doing it.
Right, right.
But he was so upset at the same time. And just to think, like, that stuck with me just for forever. I was like, yo.
Meanwhile,
I saw Tracy
Dave standing
with his own car.
With a new fob. Here you go, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, here's your fob, bud. Sorry.
Oh, that dude, was this in the Jersey house?
Yeah, in Jersey. Yep.
Oh, yeah. He got too many cars as it is. That's probably a reason. Mm-hmm. I was like, boy, you act like that Walmart money, truck money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. But he's a good dude, man. He's funny as they come and a legend, man.
Mm-hmm. So, what's up with the we're casual sippers of all things. So the Seta. Am I saying that correct?
Yeah, man. Seta wine is based off my mother Rosetta. I did the wine for her. That was 2019 I started that.
Okay.
Partnered with some a great vineyard, Smith Devereaux, up in the Napa Valley. We introduced the wine, and now we've been growing it. So that was the Napa grapes was a little more expensive wine. It's like an $84 bottle.
Okay.
But we just now introduced the California Setas, so red and white, and we now have wines that are a little more affordable. $26, $22 for the white. So right now, that's what's going on. But you can order it online. It's beautiful, man. It's another thing. My mother was an educator. She wasn't a big drinker.
Right.
So whenever she would just have a little something, to your point, she would just drink a little wine and she would always say, toast the glass with a touch of class.
Right.
We put that on the back of every bottle, toast the glass with a touch of class, man. So that's just awesome. An homage to moms, man, you know, and a way for us to give back. My sister and I, we give back through her, my mom's Red Rose Reads Foundation's literacy program. She was a reading specialist. So we do books and book giveaways and literacy programs and support those kind of things all around the country.
Man, you're out here making her proud, man. You tied the family back. Yeah. You didn't drop the new novel. So it ties right back to like the family even more than what we kind of talked about a few minutes ago.
The thing that I learned most so far today, like, you are generally a good dude, man. You got like a great heart, which is awesome. Like, you're the king of comedy.
Said, I didn't think it was any different before today. I don't know what he had in his mouth. That dude got hit like, man, I don't know. I mean, I heard you say it was awful. So let me go in here and just clear the air with me.
Yeah. It's good. I don't think there's enough white hats in the game no more, man. Like, you know, everybody feel like it's important to, you know, to play the villain and be the tough guy. You know what I'm saying? But I just like being real, man. I just like being, you know, understanding that empowering our community, uplifting our folks, being down with people that's trying to make good in the world, whatever it is that they doing. Like, that's who I like to rock with, man. So that's just how I do it too. So, and I try to do it having fun. I don't ever let it stress me out. None of it, man. So, like, it's a good day when Pete called me and told me that, you know, this is artists, this is what he's doing. Y'all got a fun show. He's like, you're going to love it. Y'all good dudes. I'm like, all right, no doubt. We just figure out when to do it. You know, I know we had to move it around a little bit, but, you know, it's fun being on here with y'all, man. Y'all do it right. Like, this is funny. This is a fun-ass show off the top.
Well, look, man, I can't even let us even start to close out because I actually need to tie back a personal for myself because this went full circle for me more than you know. When Kings of Comedy came out, me and my roommate from college, we became, you know, we men now. We got to move off. We were way too broke to be moved, like, way too broke. So we move off campus, man, and every night for the first couple months, bro, I swear I'm walking out. I was like, oh, somebody got our furniture again. Well, no, we just couldn't afford to buy it. It just wasn't in there. Mm-hmm. So we had two lawn chairs, a TV, and occasionally we'd hold a session for our little antenna friends, a.k.a. roaches that, you know, would come out and sit with us. Yeah, we didn't have chairs for them. We had our two lawn chairs and, you know. But we sit there, man, no lie. So we watch Kings of Comedy every single night because it ain't much that a beer, friends, and comedy won't fix. You know, so for he and I, we had our own personal struggles in our family. We had our personal struggles living there together, trying to figure it out, knowing we're going to buy one piece of furniture a month until, you know, we were ready to move. But for us, that justified our existence and get up and do it again. So, man, I'll tell you why I got your attention. Never thought I would ever have your personal attention. So I appreciate it, you know, but for me, even back then, bro, like, you're changing lives not even knowing, you know, that you're changing lives. You know, I literally had the thing memorized, you know, so, like, I have four of my favorite guys on screen and literally all in one, you know, we this thing wraps back around. So, yeah, I appreciate it for sure, man.
That's dope, man. I appreciate that, man. Yeah. You know, that's interesting because you don't really think about it whenever you're doing art, right? I mean, you know. Even this, you guys, you know, like you're creating something. You'll look up years from now, and people will be like, "Yo, they was influenced by just the vibrations that y'all give off, right? Mm-hmm. And it is one of those things, because when at the time you're doing it, you don't realize that's almost 25 years old right now,
right.
The Kings of Comedy.
Right, that's what it is. Yeah.
And yet it still resonates. It still is one of these things that people be like, yo, I just watched it the other day, man, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or had those kind of stories. Here's a funny quick story. Mystical, he didn't know that I came out to Here I Go. So he said he's sitting in the movie theater and watching it like everybody else. And when I come out and his song go on, he said, man, I lost it. No, he said, I had kids. He said, it was just too much. He said, I was crying. I was yelling.
Yeah.
He said, I couldn't believe you had put my song in that movie.
Right, right.
And I was like, dog, like, it was just one of them things that, you know, for me, I was, you know, like, at that time, I was definitely the youngest one in the group.
Right.
Everybody else was doing Motown and grown-ass songs, and I was on that.
Yeah.
I was on that. Ah!
Right. Yeah.
Here I go. Here I go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, man, that's big
crazy,
up. So, that's real.
All right, man. Well, we won't keep you too much longer, Sed. Again, man, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, it meant the world to have you on as a guest, man.
Sure.
And again, if anyone, I mean, everyone knows you, but now, like, if they don't even like you as much, I promise you, they now love you even more, man, because you are the freaking man, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you got? Any last words, D?
We appreciate you gracing Nashville with your presence today. Now we're looking forward to you actually getting to.
Yeah, we're going to do a big event. Yep. And then
I like it.
Yep. And then I think you coming out to Nashville would be a different experience the next time. Or I don't know if you've been out to Nashville a bunch, but you come out here, we do it right.
Yeah.
P will tell you.
Oh, for sure. No, it's legendary.
Yeah.
It's a legendary town right there. I had a blast. You know, I shot my last special there in the one I did in 2016. I shot it at the Ryman.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah. So
dope venue.
It's bad. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but it's definitely a town. I'll be more than happy to pull up in. That's for sure.
Hey, let's make it happen, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all.
Hey, we appreciate
it. Get it.
Hey, I'll holla.
Appreciate you, Seth.
I'll holla.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. All right, y'all.
All right.
I'll holla.
Ride around my top now, window shaking a lot now. I'ma stay proud, no Kane Brown, but I thank God for these days now. Don't make sounds, crash glass, no rebounds. End town, Nashville, and I stay proud now.